From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, the dugout, man, talking Yankees baseball, spring training stuff, the infield, the pitching, the manager, of course. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher. As I know, the Yankees got a game in session as we speak, as we got a couple of weeks away before we get to the regular season. With the Yankees, kind of 2-0 right now on the Rays, following along that game, and I saw that Tereas and Austin Romine with a couple of RBIs as well. So getting the job done in the pitching has held its own versus Tampa Bay tonight. Like we said, we got a couple of weeks away for the start of the regular season. We're going to have that dialogue, catch up on a lot of the stuff with the Yankees. We're not going to waste any time because we got a lot of stuff to cover. We're going to bring the stakeholders on and in order that they call, just bring them on back to back because we're going to tackle the infield first. We're going to tackle some of this pitching and then also our analysis and thoughts of Aaron Boone. And I want to say this one time because on Sunday, I'm thinking Sunday around noon or 1 o'clock p.m. I'll put out the announcement on the Bleed Blue Show, the fan page and Twitter. We will do an AL East breakdown on Sunday. So next Monday will not be a Yankees dugout. We'll be on Sunday, so probably about noon or 1 o'clock, something around those lines. So be on the lookout for that on the website, BleedBlueShow.com, and as well as the post that we put up so we can get into the dialogue. We're going to look at how we stack up against the rest of the AL East teams on Sunday. Let's bring on the stakeholders, man. Knickerbocker Avenue is our source for the streets for the Knicks. Avenue, just say what up real quick, and we'll bring on the other stakeholders, and we'll get right into the infield stuff. Avenue, what's up?
What
up? How you doing?
What up? Let's get started. Bleed Blue all day, every day.
Sounds good, my man. Sounds good. Let's go to the Worm, man. Worm, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How's everything going? Happy to hear from you.
Great, man. Sounds good, man. Real good. Let's get to Ray. Ray, what's up, man? How you doing? Talking Yankees baseball, man. How's everything, man?
Man, excited. What's going on, C? What's up, everybody? I'm just excited for the season to start, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go right back to Av. Av, let's talk about this infield. I know Andujar and Torres are going to AAA, but we picked up Neil Walker. We can talk about Drury's progress in the spring training. We could go anywhere in this infield, your thoughts, and then let's go to Worm and right down the line. So, Av, go ahead and take the floor.
Well, this is the first time in a long time that we have to have so many questions for the infield. I mean, usually we have, one or two. Like, we worry about third base a little bit. We worry about first base sometimes because Teixeira, in years past, and then, of course, Bird, since he took over, his injury woes. But the infield really kind of, there's a lot of ways this can go. This can be a great season for our infield. This almost could be, a cut and paste kind of situation. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. I'm liking how the defense is stacking up so far. I'm also liking the depth chart, the way it's stacking. But I mean, it's kind of hard to really gauge it all the way because it is spring training. Spring training is really it's for the pitchers to get their timing, get the rhythm, get everything down. But so far so good. I mean, everywhere up and down the infield from left to right, right to left, up and down, however you want to look at it looks okay. There's not somebody that's right now that I'm looking at and I'm like, all right, this is what I'm really liking, except of course that big home run that Greg Bird hit the other day. I think it was really yesterday or Saturday. That was a bomb. But other than that, I mean, we just kind of have to play a little bit more of wait and see.
All right, cool. What about you, Warren? What's your thoughts on the infield? And then we'll go to Ray.
I feel a little more confident with the infield, this spring training. My step-pops is a huge Mets fan, so, I would, watch a little of the Mets games with him. I've always liked Neil Walker. I think he'll be, a nice fit at second. And I like Jewelry at third. I think it's good to go, with a more veteran presence right now. and let the kids, you know, develop a little bit longer. It's, to me, it shows that Aaron Boone's not totally ready to trust the kids yet on this level, which is fine. I would rather, you know, get more playing time, you know, down in the minors, you know, let them fully develop. You know, they're not going to be down there that long. They will be up at some point, eventually, probably mid-season. You know, as far as the Yankees bats, and yeah, Bird hit a bomb on Sunday. You know, I was watching a good portion of that game, and the Yankee bats are coming alive. The only thing, you know, that I wish they would do with the lineup, I was never really a fan of when Girardi had Aaron Judge in the two hole. You know, and I see they're, you know, continuing with it. I would rather have him down a little bit lower. But you know, give or take in that spot, it's just me personally. I would feel more comfortable with him batting a little bit lower. But you know, up and down his lineup, it's going to be very hard to pitch against. If the Yankees' bats are alive, it's going to be a very fun year to watch, especially with that short porch in right field of Yankee Stadium. But the infield, I mean, the one person I'm looking at to, you know, to be the captain of that infield, you know, normally would be the catcher, but, you know, Sir Didi is just, wow. He is an underrated player, and I see him as a leader in that infield. The only concern I do have is with Greg Bird at first. You know, is he going to stay healthy and be able to play a full season, you know, without injury? I mean, I know injuries are going to happen, but there's a point where he missed a good part of last year due to injuries. And, you know, I said it a couple times last year. At some point, I felt like, you know, I was watching Nick Johnson again that couldn't stay healthy. That's where I'm at infield-wise.
Well, before we go to Ray, let me ask you this about Greg Bird. Like, how many games is a satisfactory number of playing in out of 162? What's your thoughts as far as how many appearances you like to see him play or games started?
At 162, I would like to see him anywhere between 135 to 145. I mean, I know that's mm-hmm. not really totally realistic, but, you know, I would like to see him around, you know, the 130 mark. You know, he's going to be able to get, you know, you can move him out to DH to give him some rest on the infield, you know, because I think Boone's going to use that designated hitter spot as, you know, a day to rest some of the starters, you know, just to, you know, get them out of the field and just, you know, just get them some at bats to just keep the rhythm going at the plate. But I would like to see Bird around that 130 mark.
All right.
You know, to me, I think it's a realistic number. That's where I would like to see him.
Cool. Let's go to Ray, get his thoughts. Ray, what's your thoughts on the infield as well as far as the guys getting sent down, Andujar and Torres, but you have a veterans at second, and you got Drury coming in at third, and seen some of his spring training at bats, and then talked about Greg Bird. I know you're really high on Greg Bird, but what's your thoughts with the Yankees infield overall? Are you positive? You include the catcher on that, or both catchers, Romine and as well as Sanchez?
Well, I feel like this, Warren brought out a good point. That's the question, is Bird, can Bird stay healthy the whole season? This infield to me looks good, you know what I'm saying? I like the Drury pickup. Neil, I don't really know too much about Neil, but, you know, these are veterans that have been around for a little bit, so I feel that we should start off with the veterans and then during the season maybe bring up the kids from AAA. My thing is, this is just my opinion. I feel that the glue in this whole infield is Didi. Didi, this guy is amazing. I mean, the first 3 years with the Yankees, his strikeouts is going down. His batting average is going up. And I feel if Didi, he's going to have another phenomenal season. I don't know about him hitting 20 bombs, but I feel that Didi is an important piece in this lineup, as is in the infield. And I feel that I think this year he can hit close to 300. You know what I'm saying? And to me, Didi is the whole glue of this infield. And I feel that with Didi leading the way, man, in this infield, we're gonna be just fine. We're gonna be just fine. We just need to wait and see. You know what I'm saying? Just spring training. But I'm just excited. I think this infield will be fine. And I think Sanchez, if he can get better on that defense, which I heard in spring training, he's getting better with the defensive part, not letting the balls pass, we're going to be fine. That's all I got for now.
You have a good number for Greg Berg. You had a concern as far as his number of games. Is there a number for you? Are you in the same ballpark with Worm on number of games for Greg Berg? He said 135, I believe.
Yeah, well, to me, I'll be happy if he even plays anywhere between 130 and 135 games. You know what I mean? I'll be good. You know what I'm saying? Because that, to me, proves that he, for the most part, he stayed healthy. You know what I'm saying? But that's the question to me. And it's like Bird, his talent is through the roof. But the problem with him is, like I said, past couple of seasons, he's been injury prone. If he could just stay healthy this season, Greg Bird can put up phenomenal numbers at first base. It's just a matter of him staying healthy.
All right, cool. Thank you very much to Ray. Let's get to Dom. We're talking infield, Yankees infield. We've got guys who got sent down, but we've got the veterans at second, Brandon Drury at third as well. And then you include Wade into the depth chart. You include Didi Gregorius, of course, starting at short, and Greg Bird and the questions we have, Dom. But welcome back to the dugout. How you doing, Dom?
Hey, guys, this is a pleasure, Steve. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I heard what a couple of guys have been saying. The thing about Greg Bird, and it almost reminds me of the Grant Hill situation, where a knick-knack injury turned into something, then he had another injury that turned into something. But let's remember, guys, he wasn't even supposed to play last year. Sometimes you got to put things behind you, and it seems like that's what he's trying to do. He actually did it last year, because I was actually reading about him last year when they thought the season was going to be over, and he was like, no. He was adamant on getting in the lineup. He's 24 years old. This kid is going to be the straw. Between him and Sanchez, me and you had this conversation once before, not on this show, but Sanchez is always going to be that overlooked guy. How? I don't know why. If you look at his numbers and you look at Judd and Stanton, he's the better hitter. Hitter. He'll hit home runs, but he is the better hitter. His defense, you know, he's still young too. You know, there'll come a time where he'll get it right. The thing that scares me about Didi is this is his last year. And with all the rumblings of the kid Machado possibly wanting to be in pinstripes and ABC, is that going to put added pressure on Didi to overperform, to prove his worth as a Yankee? I don't know. I read an article about it. You know, I'm here for now, and that's the bottom line. I'm going to put my best foot forward. But even with Walker, who I think is like 32 years old, the Yankees infield is still at a prime age, other than Walker. And I'm assuming they'll take Walker until Torres comes around. Good idea putting him back in the minors. He's another guy. Suffered an injury. He was like the top prospect. But that could be a good thing. You got Walker, he could fill in. You got players to mix and match. But the Yankees infield is still, you know, not an old infield. Didi, other than Walker, may be the oldest guy. So they got depth. They got youth. And Didi is the guy in the infield. Come on, guys. It's normally that way anyway with the shortstop. He normally is the guy that's the catalyst behind the infield. And that's not a bad thing. I just don't want to see him get too into thinking of next year. Like they always say, playing for a contract. And I think he's a little more professional in that. But he is human too, guys. You know, am I going to be here next year? ABC. So I think as far as the hitting goes, the infield can hit. Y'all didn't even get to the outfield, but the infield can hit. And Bird is a pretty good defensive player too. This is the kid the Yankees have been waiting on. Remember, we heard about him before we started hearing about these other guys. This Greg Bird was supposed to be the next coming of Mattingly, Tino, he was the guy. This is what they waited for. So I don't want to put a number on his season. I just want to see him play healthy. And with that porch in right field, this kid could be something special. Plus, he's a good hitter. He's another one. You don't just hit for power. He's a good hitter. So he's going to be lightning, guys. I can't wait for baseball season to start. So, but that's all I have for now. Steve, it's a pleasure being on this show, Steve. I thank you for texting me and reminding me.
I like to add, as far as Greg Bird, there's really nothing else to add to what you guys said. I think we're all seeing the same thing with Greg Bird. Number of games, I think I'm in the same arena, a ballpark with the Worm. I'm pretty sure every Yankee fan is somewhere in that 135, 140. To say to play more than that is even a stretch for Greg Bird, knowing his limited, his recent injury history. But he's going to be so protected in this lineup with all the other guys, like Dom said, with Sanchez, you got Stanton and Judge and Didi. You have guys left, right, all over the place on the offensive side. Defensively, you know, he's going to have a sure glove at first, going to be okay with that. You got guys all around the diamond who could play multiple positions, and I think that's really key with the Yankees as well. And I thought it was ironic because we had a lot of Yankees talk, especially on social media, before spring training with who's going to play second, who's going to play third. And a lot of it was an Andujar. And there was a lot of Torres. You had a lot of that talk. And now you, depending on the transactions of what Cashman has done, now you get to see a little bit more of maybe a bounce, a rotation between Wade and Neil Walker and Torres. And now Neil Walker is a guy we already know. He's a lot of his years with Pittsburgh, I think 1 year with the Mets, and he's kind of he is what he is. He's a 260 hitter, 270 at best, maybe. Most of those years, he's only going to get you on a home run tip, in the low teens. But that's all right. He's a sure glove. He's a veteran. He has a lot of at bats in Major League Baseball. And I think that's when if Cashman feels that that's the right move to groom the kid, put him back in the minors, and have a veteran guy who's played every day, so be it. I don't think that's a bad move at all, because you don't want the last thing you want to do is mentally compromise these young players when they're on a major league level. You still want to give them their reps as many reps as they can in AAA and Scranton. Now, as far as Drury, and I think that's another signing. Of he had a lot of at-bats the last couple of years with the Diamondbacks, kept a lot of paid attention to a lot of his progress during the spring training up until this point. And he's another guy, and I think we had that dialogue about a couple of weeks ago, and I think Chandler had brought that up, and that he's a guy who's pretty much a sure glove if you put him at anywhere in the infield, but he could DH for you, he could bat for you, he's going to have he's going to have comparable stats to Neil Walker. And all we ask out of them in the last couple of seasons, he's been well over 450 at-bats and getting a good decent average, a decent OB on-base percentage. So you're getting veterans in there to mix with the youth as well. So because Drury's in his mid-20s, he still has a little bit of room to grow, where Neil Walker, he's been around a while, and he's going to be a guy – to be rotational with whoever it is, Torres on some days and then Wade. And we already know about Didi. And I think somebody brought the point of a contract year. I didn't even really think about it like that, but I'll say it like this. Didi doesn't seem to come across the type to worry about his numbers or his contract. He seems like a guy who's just going to play every day. He's going to try to produce every day. And we already know the shoes he had to fill behind Derek Jeter. So I think since then he's been a great fix since he came over in the trade from Arizona a few years ago. So I'm going to go back to Avenue. Now, Av, on this infield, what concerns do you have? What about in the event Bird doesn't get hurt or God forbid if Didi Gregorius gets hurt? What about how you look at us defensively overall, offensively overall? And just how does it fit into this 2018 team? Then we'll go right back down the line.
Well, to answer the previous question that you posed to Worm everybody else, for me, I think that a good number for Greg Bird is somewhere along the lines of 100 games. I think that 120, 130 is, to me, is a bonus. I mean, because I don't think he's played 100 games yet. So if he can at least get that milestone, I think that you can almost consider that a success, depending on how his health goes. But to answer your question, if barring any kind of injury to Drury, to especially to Didi, because I agree with everybody else, Didi is so much, it's so much part of the Yankee identity and the glue that kind of holds that infield together and makes that machine work. If something were to happen to Didi, and of course, in the course of 162 games, anything can happen. Fortunately, you have a depth chart that still has a lot of serviceable guys. Yes, you do lose something because Didi is such a dynamic player on both sides of the ball, but you do have Torres, who can't fill that shortstop. You do have Tyler Wade occasionally. He can play third, but you can also shift him to shortstop on the occasion. You also have the kids down, which is shut down, like Andujar and all those guys. You can always start plugging and playing some of those guys. And if I don't think that Walker can play short, but I'm pretty sure that you can probably service of him, shift him over, for like a late eighth or ninth inning kind of situation, and you would still be serviceable. You do lose a little bit. You lose a little bit of depth, especially when you get we've grown so used to of seeing Derek Jeter, make that catch and throw from the hole. Didi can pretty much do that. I don't think that Torres has the arm to do that. I'm pretty sure Wade doesn't have the arm to really do that, or that kind of athleticism. But you do have still enough serviceable pieces in the depth chart, and of course down in the minors, that if something were to happen to Didi, something were to happen to Wade, something were to happen to Drury, you still have something there, and I think that's the benefit of having Brian Cashman make the moves that he's made over the last couple of years, acquiring a lot of young pieces, a lot of great prospects, and at the same time developing the existing ones that we've had over the last couple of years.
All right. Warren, what about you? Any concerns that you do have or any doubts with the infield? And then we'll go back to Ray.
I mean, the only, concerns I have is, time to time is with, Sanchez's glove. There's times where, he's losing the pitches, in the dirt, which, I mean, he did work on in, spring training. I'm watching his defense is getting better. I remember when, Girardi did call him out on it. But that would be my only concern, And, one of the middle infielders were to go down, I would see, I can't even get his name right yet. Dory, I see him more of, like a Luis Soho type, where, you can just plug him in, wherever, and, we can manage with it. You can bring up, Andujar, if you have to, say Didi goes down. I think you can move Dory over to short. You can bring Andujar up to third. You can bring Torres, up if you have to. There is some flexibility, with Torres, because he can play, the middle infield spots, if, Walker goes down. I really wouldn't move, Andujar, around too much. I would leave him more at, at third base if you have to bring him up. Neil Walker, I've never seen him play short or third, so I think you're kind of cemented in with him at second. Tyler Wade, you might be able to get by, a couple games here and there if you have to at first base. But, I think that the key is going to be, with the flexibility you do get with Dory. But other than that, I mean, injury-wise, I think we'll be okay. And if we have to, move some pieces around, we'll move some pieces around. I think, if, you haven't, I don't even want to say this, if you have an injury in the outfield, I think you would be in better shape than you would, with an injury to one of the infielders.
All right, cool. Let's go to Ray. Ray, any concerns as well from the infield? And then we go back to Dominic on that too. Ray, any concerns on the infield that you have? And then we go back to Dom.
My concern is, just like everybody else, Sanchez with the glove, and if he work and he's getting, listen, Sanchez is the best kept secret as far as hitting. If he can get better defensively behind the plate, he can be a gold glove type of player. Now, if Sanchez gets better behind the plate, then we'll be fine. I mean, other than Bird and his injuries, I mean, this infield, man, it's something special, man. But we got utility players that we could plug in, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not really worried about that. We'll be fine. It's just that my main concern is Sanchez and his glove. And if he can get it down and start really becoming more of a defensive player behind the plate, because his hitting is not questionable at all. We all know he's a hell of a hitter. It's just his defense. If his defense gets better, man, this infield is going to be something special. And I just can't wait to see it in the regular season. But other than that, that's my only really concern.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Dominic, anything from you as far as concerns with the infield?
Not really. I mean, injuries are going to happen. But I was looking at this Estrada guy, and it seems like the higher the level of the minor leagues and the more at-bats he gets, he's a shortstop, that he's gotten better and better. So, again, you know what the weird thing is, guys? At least now we're in the position where if something does go wrong, we got somebody to pick and choose for. Now, granted, let's not say it's a whole season. Let's say somebody sprains an ankle, pulls a hammy. We got guys to pick from the minor leagues to bring up and fill that void. We didn't have that before. You know, we've gotten away from that. We're going to build through this, through that, not go with the youth. But when they decided to go with that youth, they went with it. And we still got durable, young, I'm talking 22, 21-year-old guys in the minor league, that I'm assuming they're still in the Yankee system because the Yankees need them. So they're going to be there. With Sanchez, you know what, guys? It's like a double-edged sword with him. If he don't become the next Johnny Bench behind the plate, which is a weird scenario, sometimes you got to give to get. If you got to give a little glove to get that awesome bat, then that's what we're going to have to live with until he gets better. Let's remember, guys, he's a young man too. He's going to get better. We hope he's going to get better. But that bat, especially when you look around Major League Baseball nowadays, the catcher is basically a defensive guy. We don't have many catchers no more that are stud hitters like Sanchez. So if you got to suck up the bad with the good with the bad for him for now, that's a great trade-off. It is. As far as the infield, I read a lot. I check these guys' minor league stats. The Yankees have some good young players. Again, that could fill in a pinch. Let's not say 150 games, and they'll really be under some pressure then. But, again, I think I heard somebody say it. Walker, he's 32 years old. I never remember him playing any other position. So I don't know if you could fit him in a shortstop. So would you want to just roll the dice with a kid you've been grooming in the minor leagues, bring him up, let him fill that void? I mean, you may give up something with the bat, but again, with Drury, however you say his name, as much as I love Todd Frazier with the rah-rah boo baye, statistically, this guy is an upgrade. You know, let's just call it what it is. Frazier gave us some good moments, but he was a hit or miss. This guy seems to be a better, you know, hitter than Frazier was. So I'm pretty sure the Yankees knew that when they decided not to let him go. But I believe that's an upgrade at that position. So if you fall a little short in another position for a little bit of time, we still got those upgrades at third and second as far as hitting, consistency. Pretty good fielders. They're not going to be gold glovers, but I think that we're in the right place at the right time, especially with all this young talent we got, guys. Oof. But that's it for me now, Steve. Thanks.
All right, definitely. Two other guys that we haven't really addressed fully, and I think Romine is going to play a key role behind Sanchez and playing some spot starters, depending on who's pitching that day. I think Romine, if you followed him somewhat in the spring training session this year, he's kind of hitting the ball well. Not to say that we need him to, but I think he's been kind of working on his bat, especially in March, some of these spring training games. He actually had some good production over the weekend, even including tonight's game. But Austin Romine is just as a key figure as just defensively calling games. And I think that's one of the most underrated things as far as a catcher's role is the ability to call games. We talk about Sanchez's bat, but the guys that actually call the games, making calling the right pitches so the pitchers can shake certain pitches off or go with it, get a good feel as far as the pace of the game. And I think both catchers are going to play a role in that. And I think everybody makes the point with Sanchez. And I think, and it's very fair because we saw some defensive lapses, especially in the playoffs last year. And of course, the last couple of seasons as well, when he's had some appearances as far as his positioning at the plate. Not questioning his gun, but just defensively holding on to the ball, getting in the right position for relays. So when it comes to Gary Sanchez, that's some things that I didn't really see too much body of work in the spring training thus far when it came to that. It's one of those things that is outside of the game itself, that defensively you're going to wait for these guys to in the real game action. And I'm really excited that for the depth all around the diamond. But it really comes down to there's certain guys you just can't afford to lose. And I think at short, we already know that. And I think Ronald Torres is kind of almost in the same boat as Austin Romine in the sense of he's had a good spring training as well. He's been seeing the ball well, taking pitches, hitting pitches, slapping them up the middle, the left, the right. I like the way he has approached it professionally at this bat, and he's embraced that super utility role because it could come to a point where we're going to need him at shortstop, we're going to need him at second base, pinch running situations. So defensively, I think the Yankees, if I had to give a grade overall, just how I see it, what is going to be forecasting, I think the Yankees defensively are probably somewhere around a B+, all around the diamond. I think the only A, strong A, is that shortstop, and that's Didi Gregorius. Everybody else in the B+ range, and that's pretty good, above average. All it is just these pitchers, and we're going to get into that. We'll go back to Evan as far as the bullpen, the starting pitching. We're going to lump them all up with what we have or as a concern, because depending on who's pitching that day, starting or even coming out of the pen, it could really make it easier for as far as ground outs, situational baseball all around the diamond. So I'm really confident in this bunch. So, Av, we're going to get into the pitching, the bullpen, the starters. You know, we could go anywhere you want. What pitcher, starter or bullpen, or relief pitcher, who do you have a concern with? Who do you like in this spring training thus far? Who has surprised you? And then we'll go to work.
Well, I'm always going to have an attachment to CC. I think CC has been, you know, so far, his performance thus far, you know, his attitude. I'm liking what I have seen out of CC in the appearances that he's come out. I'm okay with Tanaka. Tanaka's going to be, you know, is going to give up the long ball. You know, the one thing I've got to hope for is that he just doesn't lose focus and gives it up in key crucial moments, because you know that he's going to be able to continue to zip the ball, you know, past certain hitters, and you know, I have seen that guys are just laying off that splitter because he doesn't throw it that often anymore. But you already know what you're going to get with Chapman. Chapman's going to, you know, he's going to get. I think with this lineup, he's going to get about 40, 42 appearances, and you know, he's usually about an 80%, you know, save opportunities kind of guy. I think my biggest concern is still Dellin Betances, and you know, it's not because you know he and I have the same last name, but it's mainly because, has he been able to shake off completely everything from last year? I mean, you know, the few appearances that I have seen him in, because I haven't been watching all the spring training games, but the ones that I have seen him in, he's been okay. But I think that if he's still going to be that setup guy, which that's where he excelled in. Him, between him and Robertson and Canley, you know, they were really, you know, that they were the glue to that bullpen to bring in Chapman. But if he can't hold it down, that's going to be a huge, huge problem. That and this is where you're really going to start to see if Aaron Boone is the right manager, because that was something that Girardi, you know, did have, you know, a one up on a lot of managers. I mean, people always come, you know, worried about how he's handling the bullpen. Well, he pieced that damn thing together very well in the years he's been here. You know, since 2008, he's been able to piece together that bullpen and shorten the game year in and year out. Can't, you know, now can Aaron Boone be able to do that? And that's going to be, so it's a matter of fact, it's just, you know, that bottom end of that bullpen, you know, of course the overall health of the starting pitchers. I think Severino is, you know, as hard as I've been on him in years past, I think this is his year to step out of, you know, to really step out and show his worth. I think Sonny Gray is going to show why the Yankees went out and got him, and maybe, and I'm hoping Jordan Montgomery can be able to be a solid number five. And but then of course the bullpen is going to be interesting and see how Aaron Boone manages that. That's going to be the crucial thing between the Yankees being able to repeat, you know, last year's performance of being one game away from the World Series and being that dynamic of a team, and just another, you know, a big huge flop.
Now, Av, do you have a question for any of the stakeholders on the Yankees pitching for Worm or Ray or Dom or myself? Maybe, you know, we'll just take people's questions and bring them to the table as well.
I think the number one question, and I don't know if Boone's already announced it yet. I haven't heard anything. But how would your rotation set up? Who's 1, 2, 3, and going forward? So I actually want to start with you, Steve, because you and I usually see eye to eye on a lot of different things. So I want to start with you. Who's your 1, 2, and 3? And how's your rotation stack up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And is it exactly how the Yankees have it set up, or who's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I mean, obviously it would have to be right offhand, it would be Severino, Tanaka, Gray, Sabathia, Montgomery, and whoever may be a six, if there is a six. I don't know. I really don't know who the Yankees have. Who the Yankees have as a six? But that's who I have as a five.
Okay. Worm.
Okay, Worm. Well, what about you?
As far as that question goes, the rotation that they have set right now, I'm happy with. The thing is, you know, you're not going to have, you know, five starters in your rotation. You're going to need, you know, a sixth, maybe a seventh person later in the season. The injuries are going to happen. And, you know, you go back and you look at the 98 season, you know, we had some injuries to the rotation, and they brought up El Duque from, you know, from the minors. Who's going to be that, you know, that El Duque that's going to come up from the minors and fill in and be a force, a dominant force in the playoffs if we need it, you know, if we lose a pitcher? You know, that's going to be the big question is, you know, who's going to be that sixth starter that's going to be able to come up and, you know, play ball and help us with playoff contention? The only question mark I have, only two question marks I have. One is with Tanaka. You know, he's got a good ground ball rate, but at, you know, his home runs that he gives up, it's really high. You know, he's had one year he gave up 35. He had another year he gave up 25. He's got to knock that rate down. It's too high. It's going to kill us. The other one is, you know, I noticed, you know, after the trade was made, is Sonny Gray got very little run support from the Yankees offense when he pitched. You know, that's going to have to be something. You know, you got to give the guy more than one or two runs. You know, he's coming in as, you know, probably your fourth starter. You got to give him a little run support. You know, he got very little, you know, support out of the offense last season. Seve's the ace, hands down, no questions asked. Seve is your ace. Tanaka's going to be your number two, but I can see, you know, possibly at some point him and CeCe maybe flip-flopping back and forth depending on, you know, how Tanaka's going, how CeCe's going. Jordan Montgomery's going to be your number five. He's not going to climb up the, you know, the rotation map. I don't see it. Sonny Gray is probably going to end up being the number four and staying there as well. The you know, the flip-flopping is going to be between the two and the three starters, depending on how CeCe and how Tanaka's pitching. Theoretically, if we can get five innings out of our starting pitching a game, I'll take it. Because that Yankee bullpen, you give them five good innings to five strong innings, what we have coming out of that bullpen could be lights out. Chapman's Chapman. D-Rob, he'll come in, he'll give you that, you know, the setup man spot if he's needed there. But Tansis, I would like to have confidence in him, but I don't at the moment. You know, he needs to show me that he got over what happened last year. But right now, my top two in that bullpen is Chapman and it's D-Rob. Canely is another one that is just wow. You know, he can be lights out and he can come in and as a situational pitcher out of the bullpen and, you know, really help us. Adam Warren, you know, if you need, you know, a long relief, he can be, you know, like that, you know, Ramiro Mendoza that comes in, you know, and can give you, you know, five, six innings if your starter's getting shelled. You know, just the only question out of that bullpen is Betances. How is he going to be? Because right now, you know, you can go, you can look at it, you know, as a, you know, John Wetland, Mariano situation in, you know, 96 where you had Wetland closing it out and you had Mariano as a setup. You have that potentially right now with D-Rob and Chapman. And so that's where I'm at, you know, pitching-wise.
All right. Do you have any questions you have for the stakeholders as well, Worm? On top of Av's question, and we'll go right down the line. As a matter of fact, if your question, if you do have a question, we'll have Av answer before we go to Ray.
It's not really a question. It's just an observation I've seen over the last couple of years, and it drives me nuts. Is you see the shift that's being played against, you know, not just our team but other teams. You know, it drives me insane. It's why don't these guys just go against the shift? You know, you can drop a ground ball or bunt down at third base and basically walk first. You know, it's I would like, you know, I don't know if, you know, anybody else would like to see it, but, you know, instead of playing, you know, home run derby and trying to beat the shift, you know, why don't we start trying to go against it and playing small ball like, you know, like we did back in the day.
All right. Well, Av, what about your thoughts on the shift before we get to Ray? You know, with Worm's point on the shift, and then we go to Ray.
Well, the answer to the question of why don't hitters hit against the shift more is because, well, one is due to pitching. Pitching is making, you know, there's enough scouting out there to know what exactly, I mean, the amount of scouting that's involved to know where to pitch, you know, where to pitch the ball, what kind of, you know, what kind of ball, what kind of fastball, is it a four-seamer, two-seamer, do you give them a cutter, do you give them this, do you give them that? There's so much advanced scouting that pitchers know how to hit their spots. So that's why you don't see a lot of hitters hit against the shift. I agree with you, but it just doesn't happen because there's so much advanced scouting and managers and pitchers and coaches and everybody involved make enough adjustments to ensure that you don't. And then, of course, also hitters are very stubborn creatures of habit.
All right. Let's go to Ray. Ray, what's your thoughts or any concerns or what pitcher, bullpen starter that you have any concerns with or you're looking forward to in 2018? And also the questions from Av and Worm. Go ahead, Ray, and then we get to Dom.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
Devin, man, that's that one guy last year. He struggled out of the bullpen. I mean, if he can go back to the way he was a year before, I mean, our bullpen can be like – I mean, our Yankees got one of the best bullpens in the major leagues anyway. So our bullpen is just – he's my main focus. If he can just go back to the pitcher he was a year before, we're going to be lights out. As far as the rotation goes, I'm happy with the rotation, and I agree. Sonny Gray, he did not get the run support each year, but with this lineup this year, he's going to win a lot more games, I feel. Servi is just like, he did a whole 360 from the year before struggling, and then he came last year, and he just – the kid is lights out, and he's going to be our ace for years to come. Tanaka, yeah, he does need to knock down on the home runs. But what I saw from him in the postseason last year, it was a whole different Tanaka. Like, he stepped up, and he pitched phenomenal in the playoffs. If he can do that for most of the season or a regular season, oh, man. Our pitcher is going to be phenomenal. I'm not really worried about the starting pitcher because we still, like, our farm system's so stacked. I know we got kids lined up ready to come up to the majors. So if we need, like, that 6-7 starter, I'm sure that, you know, we can bring one of them kids up to see what they got. But, yeah, I like the five starting pitchers. I think Montgomery last year, he had his up and down, but he pitched real well for his rookie season, I felt. But that's my only concern. And the whole shift, talking about the shift, yeah, the shift drives me nuts too. But the thing is, baseball is all about analytics nowadays. And now – the scouts, they know what hitter hits where and all. That's why they've been doing a lot of shifts, because they know if that batter is going to hit mostly towards the shift. So that's why they do a lot of that shift stuff, and it all comes down to analytics. So, and that's all I got.
And Ray, do you have a question for the dugout as well? You want to bring to the table and have Ab answer it, Warren, quickly answer it then before we go to Don.
My question is, for everybody on here is, what do you guys think about CeCe this year? Do you guys think he's going to be the same pitcher last year, or is he going to, cause I feel that CeCe is the key here. If he can pitch almost as good as he did last season, then yeah, we're going to be in good shape. So, but that's the question I got for everybody on the panel.
All right, real quick, Ab, if you could quickly answer Ray's question on CeCe and same with Warren. Just quickly answer, and then we can get to Don.
I expect CeCe to be similar to what he was last year, the stopper.
All right. Hey, Warren.
Yeah, I totally agree. CeCe is going to be the key. You know, I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder to come out and do what he did last year and, you know, really prove that he still got his stuff. I'm not really concerned with CeCe.
All right. Hey, Dom, let's go to you real quick, and then if you can answer Ray's question, Ab's question, and Worm's question as well. And then any personnel in the bullpen, concerns or optimistic about starter as well, and then any question you'd like to bring, and then I'll have my points, and we'll go around with final thoughts on our thoughts on Aaron Boone.
As far as the CeCe thing, with the Yankees bullpen, if he could give us 5 2/3, 6 innings, he should be okay. But here's the thing. Let me answer the quick question about the shift. The shift is what it is, guys. Let's be realistic. We don't have Tony Gwynn's and Rod Carew's in Major League Baseball no more. These guys, like Knickerbocker Ave say, are stuck on their ways. It's kind of hard to change horses in the middle of the race. So pitchers and managers are taking advantage of what has become the norm. Until we get them Rod Carew's, I bet they don't put a shift on Trout. It's the hitter. It's the pitching could be the pitching, but a great hitter as Rod Carew or Gwynn, they can hit the ball where it's pitched. We don't see that much no more. But with the Yankees pitching, I've always got a problem with Tanaka. I'm like the last caller. I hope he shows up like he showed up in the playoffs. But another key to the Yankees bullpen is Green.
you know, the Yankees were experimenting with him when spring training started. Will he be a starter? Will he come out the bullpen? But here we go again with the versatility the Yankees have. You know, they have enough versatility and enough talent, especially in their pitching staff, from Montgomery to Green, Sonny Gray. Let's hope he is the Sonny Gray the Yankees went and got. I will admit, they didn't get much hitting for him last year. That's a spot-on observation. But we have so many guys that can fill so many roles. Let's say CC can't go one day. Can we put Green in for 4 or 5 innings? Again, it goes back to that versatility and how this team is built. Let's not get, you know, crazy and say this is a do-or-die year. No, you look down the road and how they're piecing this together. This is phenomenal, guys. This is really a must-see season. Let's be honest. They was a game away from the World Series last year when nobody had them going that far. They added a couple of veteran pieces. Their bullpen and their pitching is basically the same. Now, again, can they do that outside of Yankee Stadium? That's another catch-22. But I think they're set up. I think a lot of people are overlooking the Yankees pitching. And it may come back to haunt a lot of teams. Remember last year, the Yankee bullpen went, 8 1/3 innings or something without giving up a run. That was the first time in baseball history that ever happened, let alone in the playoffs. So they're built. They're built for this. Again, Tanaka, he always worries me. You know, it's the first couple of innings. Can he be the Tanaka we thought he was going to be? I mean, he's been in the league quite a few years now. Let's see some consistency out of him. Seve is going to be him. I'd like to see Knickerbocker Avs' namesake, Big B, go back to what he is. Even if he has to be the guy, before the setup guy, something. He just got to give us something. Because I know he can still come in and throw darts for one inning. He's got to get that back in his head. Baseball is a lot mental, guys. And he's got to get back in his head that I could do this, you know. And hopefully Boone has faith in him, gives him the opportunity, and he either shines or he falls out the rotation. Again, with the pitching we have, I don't think it would be a season ender if he don't come back to what he was. So this should be very interesting, guys, with the pitching and the hitting.
And now, before we move on, what about Ab's question as far as you're cool with the starting rotation as what it is right now? You're 5. You want to go 6? How do you look at it right now? Then we'll go to myself, and then we'll go around for final thoughts and include Aaron Boone into our thoughts.
I would go with the 5, and again, depending on how Boone feels. With Green, can we plug him in for that emergency role to give us 5 innings? This guy got great stuff. The Yankees have a good 5. I don't know how effective a 6 is because some guys don't pitch well on too much rest. Some guys pitch good on a lot of rest. So at least they have that option and that versatility, if that's a good answer to the question.
Yeah, definitely. I think this – time around, I think Sonny Gray being that bump in the middle of the starting rotation, and I think after a full season with the Yankees is going to be a real key to help piecemeal the starting pitching together. I think Sonny Gray is going to have a very good season, and I don't enough Yankee fans. I almost forget about the fact that they talk about Tanaka and his worries and Betances and his worries and how. To a degree, did Severino overachieve? I still kind of have my questions about Severino, even after last year, because we saw in the postseason after he got rocked and he came back with a strong start in the playoffs versus Cleveland. I would like to see a guy like Sonny Gray really get a lot of good quality starts, good quality innings, and even that's who I was kind of paying attention to a lot as far as getting guys out, opponents' batting average. And I think he's done a very, very nice job out of all the Yankee pitchers, whether starting or pitching when it comes to that. He's really kept a lot of the guys off base in the innings that he did pitch. Now, Jordan Montgomery, I think there's a method to the madness, and I don't think there's no secret. He's a young guy. He's going to be the 5th starter. And I agree with whoever – I forgot who said it as far as he's not going to be higher than that unless there's injury, catastrophic injury. to one of the guys above him in the rotation. And there's a reason why he's gotten a lot of appearances in spring training. Of course, he's young. They want to see what the Yankees got, give him more reps. He's had a 3-1 strikeout, the batting, base on balls, walk ratio. He's given up a lot of hits in spring training, a little more than to my liking. And you would like to see him keep guys off the getting around the plate, giving up several runs for throughout the innings that he did pitch. Because when it comes to Jordan Montgomery, we know about he has a little of a hard slider. And I know that was something that was a pitch that he would kind of be working on to go with his changeup and his curve as well. I think he has a decent sinker as well. So I think a lot of that has to do with testing some pitches out there in spring training. Going back to Tanaka, it's no different than what I've said the last couple of years. Because I think two seasons ago in 2016, his issue was run support. He had a run support issue 2 years ago. Last year, he just couldn't get guys out. He had a rough start to the season. Tanaka's always been a wild card. I just can't get a good read on him because when it comes to Tanaka, he had a lights-out spring training last year, and that told me that at the end of the day, spring training kind of is like it's really – You go for what you take it for what it is with a grain of salt because it doesn't really translate into a dominant regular season per se for the most part when it comes to pitchers. You just want to see guys in the groove. That's why you want to see Dellin Betances work on his mechanics and really mentally be in it because really it really really just matters what are you doing in 162 because Tanaka is all about location and I think that's the driver off his mental. Because we know he has an arsenal of pitches. We know about he has a nasty sinker and splitter. But that slider of his, when it's up in the zone and guys, they can lock in on him, and they can take that 420, 430 feet to left center field, depending on who we have to face. Severino, obviously he's been named the starting pitcher. I got to be honest, man. I like Severino and what he's done last year. He's pitched some very quality innings, but towards the end of last year, maybe it was fatigue and just getting through that long season the way he's done. He's been a good ace, and that's a lot of pressure again, man. We got to see what he does. We know he brings the heat with that four-seamer. He has a very good slider that gets in on pitchers as well. But the jury's still out. I like CC Sabathia, you guys. And to you guys' point, I have no concern for him. I thought a couple of years ago when we had that dialogue here on the podcast that he was going through a lot of this stuff mentally, in and out of the drinking with Alcohol Anonymous. And I think he's kind of way turned the corner on that. And he's pitched very well, especially in big spots with us last year. And I think this all ties into the manager. I'll say it right now, and then we'll go to add final thoughts. Aaron Boone's going to have a good grasp on when to use players, when to pull them. And I think that's something Girardi, for the most part, did all right, did very good with. And that's a very good a technique of Major League Baseball starting the pitching, the bullpen, with Boone here getting a grasp of who's really doing well, who's not well, the pitch counts, keeping an eye on it. This is his first managerial job. Really, nobody really knows what's going to happen. But I really value him as a very good baseball man. I always have. So I'm really optimistic, and if Cashman and the Yankees brass feel that he's going to be the guy, let's roll with it. So, Ab, let's go to our final thoughts, the infield, the pitching, and give us your thoughts on Aaron Boone and how this all is related on your final thoughts as well. And then we go right down the line. Knickerbocker Avenue or Source for the Streets for the New York Knicks.
Well, for my final thought, when we talk about the Knicks on Wednesday nights, from back to the question at hand, Aaron Boone, you're absolutely right. I respect him as a baseball mind, but how he handles that pitching rotation, how he handles that bullpen is going to be crucial. His substitutions and the times he's going to challenge, because those challenges, they're becoming more and more vital in baseball than we're used to. This year, I think is going to be very crucial this year I just get that feeling. But he's gonna have to, be almost perfect, and he has to, pinpoint
when to pull players, how he sets up his lineup. If he does go the left-right-left route, that's not a bad way to go. The biggest thing is that he cannot divert way too much from what the establishment, the Girardi and Sharkey and the rest of the coaching staff that was already in place. He cannot divert so much, and he needs to listen to Rothschild, he needs to listen to Pena, he needs to listen to a lot of those guys, but then also, you know, come out. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does in his first go around as the Yankee skipper. And for my final thought, one more time, I know my sister's listening, so I better say this: happy birthday to my baby niece Alicia. Happy birthday, mommy, I love you. And Knickerbocker ass signing off till Wednesday night. Blue blue all day, every day. Sangre azul.
Man, is it a good time of the year, Av? Talking Yankees baseball, man. Some good stuff on the platform.
Oh, I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Yeah, and I you know what? And then on Sunday, like I said, about around noon or 1, I haven't really decided. We're going to look at this rest of this division before we get into the regular season stuff soon after that. So the Yankee stuff, the Dugout Podcast on Sunday, upcoming Sunday around noon 1-ish. Talking rest of the division, or the Rays, or the Orioles, Red Sox, of course, the Blue Jays. So, Avenue, Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Talking Knicks on Wednesday. Looking forward to that dialogue, man. Thank you very much, Avenue. Worm, your final thoughts as well. Tying in and on with Aaron Boone, and then we'll go to Ray.
Boss, you know, why doesn't it surprise me that Ellsbury is slated to start the year on the DL again? We got to find a way. We got to find ourselves a trade partner and get rid of him. Find a team that wants him. Find a team that he wants to go to. Eat some of his contract. This was a bad contract from the start, and it's time. It's time. I can't sit here and see this guy injury after injury after injury. You know, I would rather be able to bring up Clint Frazier and let the kid get some PT. As far as Aaron Boone, it was an interesting hire because, you know, I listened to him on ESPN when he was, you know, talking baseball. He is a very smart, very intelligent baseball mind. I want to see how he's going to be able to relate to the players and handle a lineup and the pitching staff, you know, day-to-day operations with the team. I was very interested in the hire, and I want to see, you know, how it's going to translate. You know, and that's it. Let's go Yankees.
Let's go Yankees. The Worm, man, thank you very much. Let's get to Ray, your final thoughts, all of this stuff, and your thoughts on Aaron Boone as well, and then we'll get to Dom.
Well, the thing with me is one of the reasons why the Yankees hired him because Yankees are one of them teams that are bigger analytics. Aaron Boone, I watched him ESPN. The guy's smart. He knows his stuff. I'm not too worried about it because Aaron Boone has bench coaches that can help him out. And he's going to struggle at first, but once he gets the hang of it, I think Aaron Boone's going to be okay. I mean, I have faith in this guy. I'm going to roll with this guy. I know you don't have no managerial experience, but he's a very smart baseball guy. And I feel that Aaron Boone is more of a player manager. He's going to relate more. And, you know, like I said, he's going to struggle at first, but he got bench coaches that can help him out. And once he gets the hang of it, I think Aaron Boone will be fine. And that's all I got. Go Yankees.
Shout-outs to Ray. Knicks, Giants, Yankee Rangers, just the way we like them. Thank you very much from Ray, the mighty Ray. And let's get to Dom on your final thoughts, and include it with Aaron Boone as well. And then we'll wrap up here on the Dugout.
Well, the previous caller before this caller, Ellsbury got to go. That's a given. The Yankees are a little stacked in the outfield to begin with. As far as Aaron Boone, I'm going to do what I do all the time. The Yankees could have hired Ichabod Crane to coach their team. I'm putting my faith in Cashman because that's where it all begins and ends. And so far, guys, you know what? For the success Cashman has had, never winning Executive of the Year, It's an atrocity. I'm not saying that because I'm a baseball fan. We've watched them take veteran teams, make them good, going with you, making them good, and he's never been rewarded for the great job he does. So we should reward him as Yankee fans. If I'm not mistaken, in December or January, the Yankees extended him for 5 years. So now you got him and Boone moving forward. Again, guys, it's a win-win situation. This is what I always say, Steven. It's my first time calling in. This is why I always suggest that the New York Knicks get on the train, go to the Bronx, and see how a real organization is run. They come up with a plan, they stick with their plan, and they move forward. Say what you want. Yes, it's about the pinstripe pride. We all know that. You put the pinstripes on, you become a different player. But it's the history and the love that the Yankees show to their fans, even on off years, that makes you wonder how some other team, especially our Knicks, cannot tap into this. It's a shame. They should hire Cashman part-time, let him run the Yankees and the Knicks and see what happens. But this is going to be a great year, guys. I'm ready. I'm getting ready to pay my $250 for MLB extra innings. So let's go Yankees. And again, thanks for having me, guys. I hope I'm back on Monday. Love the show.
Man, shout out to Dominic, Donardo DP on Twitter for Avenue, the Worm, Ray, Dominic. My final thoughts on Aaron Boone. I'm optimistic, man. Like I said it before in my last time when I spoke. It's really about the player relationships and getting along with the guys in the clubhouse and really developing those guys. And I think they're all going to get along. I know there were some rumblings of Girardi being strong-headed but bump heads. And I like Girardi. It sucks that it didn't pan out the way it did and a lot of the pressure he ended up with in the fall with some of the decisions. And he got really ridiculed for it. And I think some of that was unfair. But moving on with Aaron Boone, I'm optimistic. It's just really about in-game situations. You just got to see. Because one thing for calling things from in the booth or behind, from far away, but when you're in the midst of the action, it's really the pressure is really on. And that's what we got to see as Yankee fans. And I think that's something we're going to really look out at that every Monday after Yankee games throughout the rest of this 2018 regular season. We're going to analyze that really critically because if he's doing good, we'll talk about it. And bad, we'll say that as well. This episode is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher. I can't thank enough these great sports heads, Av and Worm and Ray and Dom. I mean, these great guys talking sports. Well, that's what we're here for. The Yankees podcast, the Dugout, all season long, like we had the last several years. And the thing, like Dom said, the Yankees didn't do as bad since the inception of this podcast. The Yankees haven't really done bad. They've actually done all right. They've done better than most of the teams that we root for on this podcast. And I look forward to the 2018 season really, really well, man. Trust me, I can't wait to have that talk with all you guys throughout the rest of the regular season. But until then, we'll be on Sunday at 12:01. We're going to look at the AL East, Boston, Baltimore, Toronto, Tampa Bay, how we stack with the rest of the division, man. I can't wait to have that dialogue. All right, guys, Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.